Okay. Matthew chapter 6 is where we were last week. And so we'll return there. We all know this passage of scripture. It goes like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then verse 14 goes on and says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so last week, as we looked at this passage of scripture, and we mentioned briefly about our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and we spent quite a bit of time on your kingdom come, your will be done. And I titled the message Prayer and the Will of God, because prayer is all about God and his will. You pointed to you last week that nowhere in this prayer that we just prayed did Jesus say, pray that David's will be done or Leah's will be done or Tim's will be done. He didn't pray. He didn't say pray that. He said, when you pray and you go before God, he says, pray this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In other words, there is one will that Jesus Christ is concerned with, and it's not mine. Hello? And it's not yours. Sorry. Okay? The will that he's concerned with is the will of his Father. And after he told them to pray that, he then lived a life that illustrated that from A to Z. All the way into the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed, when he knew he was going to die on a cross, he said, Father, if there is any way for this cup to pass from me, he says, let it pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, if you want to know what it means to serve Jesus, there in the synopsis right there, it is. In order to serve God, you're going to have to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus. Now, what do we know about a cross? A cross, there's nothing pretty about it. There's nothing that will cause you to desire anything about this cross that Jesus was talking about. This cross that Jesus hung on himself. Yet, you and I are called to it. Yeah, to die to ourselves. To die to what I want. Right? And so, you know, on a very light note, when someone cuts you off in traffic and you feel your blood rising, and getting hot, and you want to, what do you want to do? Jesus said, okay, that right there, that's gotta die. That's gonna die. Why? Because God is not wanting to do anything to that person. God is wanting to have mercy on that person. Why? Because they may have cut you off, but I remember a day when I just cut somebody off too. I felt bad about it, but I cut them off. They all up in the horn. I'm like, oh, Father, forgive me. I'm sorry. I know I shouldn't have cut them off, but I cut them off. And so, you know, when we get cut off and we get mad, we just have to remember that we cut people off. I know I'm not the only one. And so Jesus said, pray that the Father's will would be realized on earth as it is in heaven, because it's being done in heaven, church. Okay. And so we need to keep that in mind, that prayer is about God, his kingdom, his will. And so, you know, it will transform our understanding concerning prayer when we understand that when we come to prayer, we are not coming to prayer to get what I want done. People say, what am I going there for? I mean, well, I always thought that this is what I want. Yeah, but that's not what prayer's about. So you say, well, I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know that either for a long time. You go to prayer for what you want, right? That's what you go there for. But you go to God to try and get him to do your bidding. Actually, it's the other way around. You go to God to get yourself straight so you can do his will. Hello? I got a couple of amens out of there. I'm going to say that again. I said, you go to God. You go to God to get yourself straight so you can do his bidding. Now, when we understand that, because when we look again, when we looked at Matthew 26, and Jesus in the garden, he's praying, he's going to a cross, and as a human being, he shrinks backward. He does not want that. No one wants a crown of thorns. No one wants, he's naked. He's being shamed. He's being ridiculed. He's being all undeservedly. And all of this, so he shrinks back, but he says, nevertheless, Father, it's not about what I want. It's about what you want. What if we prayed that in our marriages? What if when we got into an argument, we went and got along with God and said, Father, this is not about what I want. What would the church look like? What would the world, you wouldn't have to go tell anybody about Jesus. They would come knock your door down and say, what are you doing? What are you doing? Your marriages are flourishing. Your children are happy. They're loving God. They're living right. What is it? What would happen if when we got into an argument with our family that we all pulled aside and said, let's go seek the Lord. Father, this is not about me. It's about you. What do you want? And then we incorporated all that the scripture says about what it means to walk with one another. Ephesians 5:2 says that we're to love one another the way God loved us, forgiving us. How much has God forgiven you of? Everything. But then I turn around and can't forgive my wife. There's a problem there. I'm not even in my notes, y'all. I'm not in my notes. This is not what I ain't. Come on, I'm just saying. This is basic Christianity, mere Christianity, if you will. I mean, God, if we would simply read the word of God and receive it unto ourselves, don't preach it in anybody. Let it hit here first, because that's where it has to hit. Right. So prayer is not me going to God to ask him to straighten up my wife so we can get along. Mm-mm, no. Prayer is about me going to and knowing, because I know the Father. He said, how do I know the Father? The Son introduced me to him, and then he took me to this. And so I know how he is. When I go to him about her, he ain't going to be talking about her. He going to be staring me straight in the face. Says, son, now the problem. Here's what you need to do. Oh, yes. Because when God showed up, Eve ate from the tree. Eve ate from the tree. But when God came in the garden, he wasn't looking for Eve. He says, Adam, called him by name. Where are you? Adam like, well, don't you want to talk to him? I call for you, Adam. You see? And so that's how it works. So this is how I like to think about it. Where do you find my will and your will in Matthew 6? I'll tell you where you find it. You find it in his will. You find it in his will. And so what God wants when we talk about prayer and the will of God is that when we come to God in prayer and to seek to see something done, what we are asking God to do must be in accordance or in agreement with what he wants to do. Because if it isn't, we got a problem. Where do we find this in scripture? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. 1 John 5:14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Let me read that again. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, We know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. That's what the scripture says. So in other words, God hears when we pray will of God prayers. He hears, right? Now, when you and God want the same thing, you'll get what you ask for. Let me say that again. When you and God want the same thing, you will get what you've asked for. And then, so now everyone's mind is going back through all the prayers that they've prayed over the years. And, you know, they're searching around. Because that's what my mind does. It's searching around. Well, I pray for this, pray for that, pray for that. I didn't see this, didn't see that, didn't see that. Now, some of it's not that God doesn't want it. Some of it's that just that you need to endure and keep praying. Because just because God doesn't answer, a non-answer is not no. It just could be delayed. Just keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. When God wants to say no, he'll let you know real quick. He's very clear. He can let you know, no, the answer to that is no. Amen. He told Moses, talk to me no more about that circumstance. Don't bring it up anymore, Moses. Moses did. Paul said, I asked the Lord three times to remove the thorn in my flesh, and he didn't. All right. So, when you and God want the same thing, you'll get what you ask for. But timing and the means for bringing the request to pass is totally up to God. And that's a lot of times where we miss it. We pray for something and we want it now. God, I need this yesterday. Have you ever seen in the scriptures, have you ever seen Jesus running? No. Why? Because he's never late. He's never pressed for time. Now, we get pressed for time. We get all up in, oh, God, I don't know what to do. He's not upset. He's not worried. He's fine. And so the timing and the means with which he brings the answer to prayer about is totally up to him. Jesus said this in John 14 and verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I know there were some Christians, when they first read that scripture, young Christians, old Christians, whatever, they first read that scripture, they said, bingo! There it is. If I ask anything, Lord, the lottery, the Powerball is at however many millions. I just need that winning number. Now, we're laughing, but you know some Christians have prayed that in the past month. Huh? You better know they have. Oh, yes, they have. And I want to win the lottery. But the scripture says, whatever you ask in my name. You know what that's like saying? According to my will. According to my will. He says, that I will do. That I will do. Now listen at what he connects to answered prayer. Answered prayer. Prayer has to do with this, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whew. Now, do we think about that when we go to prayer? No, we don't think about that. No, what we think about when we go? This is what I want, Lord. This is why we think God is a big Santa Claus in the sky. Sorry? No. No, he created all things. All things were created by him and for him. Colossians 1:16. We exist for him. He does not exist for us. Hello. Oh, my God. You mean my life, the reason why I'm here today is because of him and for him. Yes. Now, the problem is when you live your life and you don't understand that. Because you keep knocking your head up against the wall. Like, why isn't this working? Why isn't this working? Well, it's not working because it's not what the Creator created you for. It's real simple. But you must know him in order to walk with him. You must know him first. So answered prayer is about the will of God and the glory of the Father in the Son. He will not do what is antithetical to his name or his nature. It's like sports. The Super Bowl is coming up, and I love it because every year you have two teams, and both teams have Christians who love God. And every year there's Christians on this side praying, I want my team to win. And there's Christians on this side praying, I want my team to win. And I don't know if people ever stop to think about it, like, what is he supposed to do? What's God going to do with this? And you're waiting for an answer, right? Yeah. Well, I've already given you the answer. It's right there in the scripture. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You say, that's not an answer. Yes, it is. But you work it out. Work it out. You have to work it out. It's there. It's there. Let me share this with you. God is not concerned with the outcomes of games. But let me tell you what he is concerned with. He's concerned with the outcomes of the people's hearts who play the games. Now, what we do, come on, listen, we're no different than the Romans with the gladiators back in the days of the gladiators. You know what? Because if somebody dies entertaining us, hey, next. Next. Keep it rolling. That's all we care about. Now, we don't see it that way, but church, listen, you know, Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus died for human souls. What is he concerned with? He's concerned with every quarterback, every lineman, every DB, you name it, every kicker. What we concerned with? Lord, I want my team to win. Now, you process that. Work it out. So I'm saying, work it out. It's not hard. It's right there in the scripture. But what do? Don't get me, we started with politics. We got this election year. This is an election year. There are Christians on both sides and in the middle. And all of them are praying. This is what I want. This is what I want to happen. Lord, this is what we need to see happen. And how many are coming to God and saying, Father, what is it that you desire? What is it that you desire? Because that's what I need to pray here today. Now, I said earlier, God will do, he will answer no prayer that's antithetical to his nature and his will. So, oh, that's in the scripture, too. The answer to that. Whose prayer is God going to answer? The Republicans, Democrats, Independents, who? It's all in there in the scripture. If you understand the nature of God and his person, that he's not going to deny himself to answer someone's prayer that's unrighteous. So, keep praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen. So while we pray for those in authority, because they need God. James, you'll remember the book of James. James said this, you have not because you ask not. Then he goes further. He says this. He says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. Or you miss the target. You miss the mark. You ask with a wrong intention that you may consume it upon your greed and your lust. Is that what he said? So what are some of the reasons why we don't get prayers answered? It's because we ask from the standpoint of greed and evil desires. Just to consume it. We're not thinking about anybody else. We pray for the Lord. I want to, Lord, if I win the lottery, I'll give 90% of it away. Do you give 90% of your income today away? Well, then you won't give 90% of the lottery away. Come on, y'all. Well, look, come on. Who are we playing with? You know, so will of God prayers are not selfish prayers. This makes us stop now when we come to prayer and think and pause and read the scripture. Because, you know, what we ask for ought to be according to God's will. When Corey says, pray from my mind. Is that a scripture? Is that a prayer that God wants? Oh, read the book. Read the book. The whole book of Proverbs is all about Solomon saying, cry out for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. He said, for wisdom is the principal thing. And with all that getting, get understanding too. And he just talks constantly about wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, a sound mind, on and on and on. Yes, God wants to answer that prayer. Now, so in order for my will to be done in and through prayer, it must be in agreement with the will of God. Okay. Now, just because it's God's will doesn't mean that answers to prayer will happen right away. I said that last week. Just because something is God's will doesn't mean that you're going to get an answer right away or that they will be easy to attain. Okay. Much of the will of God is brought about by consistent, laborious prayer. And so not only do we pray to see the will of God done, but Jesus prayed in the will of God and kept his will in agreement with the will of God. Back to, we're talking about Matthew 26 in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was being tempted with regards to the cross and shunning it, not going to it. He was being tempted by the devil. While Peter, James, and John were being tempted with sleep, and not to be alert and to watch with Jesus while he was going through a very difficult time in his life. So just because something is difficult doesn't mean it's not the will of God. Let me say that again. Just because something is difficult doesn't mean it's not the will of God. In Judges chapter 20, the men of the tribe of Benjamin, they had done something really wicked before the Lord. And the Lord said to Israel, go up against them. And the people, they sought the Lord and said, who will go first? And the Lord said, Judah is to go up first. Now, there were 26,000 of these Benjaminites, 26,000. But there were 400,000 men of Israel. You got that, right? 26,000 against 400,000. And those men of Benjamin came out. And they slaughtered 22,000 men in one day of Israel. The Benjaminites did. The 26,000 slaughtered 22,000 of the 400,000 one day. The Lord told them to go up. And so the people came back. They were discouraged and everything. They sought the Lord in prayer. They said, God, do you want us to go up against our brethren, against Benjamin again? And the Lord said, go up. So is it the will of God? Well, yes, it is, because he said, go up. He said, yes, go. And they go, and they fight with Benjamin the second day. And the second day, those same 26,000 men killed 18,000 of the men of Israel. And now those men, the survivors come back into the camp, and they are distraught. They proclaim a fast. Man, they're sacrificing animals, and they're crying out to God, weeping and saying, God, Lord, do you want us? Because they're getting a little shaky because they say, he told us to go the first time. He told us to go the second time, and we got defeated. And they said, do you want us to go up against our brethren? And the Lord said, go, for surely I will deliver them into your hand. And they set an ambush, and the children of Israel wiped out the tribe, almost annihilated the tribe in Benjamin. My point in sharing that is this. It was God's will the first time. It was his will the second time, but they had faced some difficulties. And sometimes when you're seeking something in the will of God, you can get discouraged and think, well, maybe God doesn't want me to have this only because it's difficult. That's not the case. Okay? That's why it's always important for us to know, is this the will of God for me? Did God say? Did he say to me? You said, does God speak to people today? He does. He does. In a myriad of ways. But he does. And when you know it's the will of God, you just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. All right? So, it was through prayer that Jesus remained submitted to the will of God, the Father, for him. It is through prayer that you and I will do the same. Now watch this concerning Christ and the will of God. Because, as I said last week, some people don't do the will of God. And why is that? And the reason I gave was simply this. The will of God must be chosen. The will of God. You've heard people say, oh, what will be, have a fatalistic attitude toward life. And is it que sera, sera? I don't know what it is. But then people say, well, what will be, I can't change what will be. Wrong, wrong, and wrong. Okay? Jesus is in the garden. And he's going to the cross. The scriptures prophesy it. The scriptures from hundreds of years before have spoken of his dying upon the cross. But Jesus said in Matthew 26 and 53, after Peter had cut off the high priest's servant's ear, Jesus said, put your sword back up into your sheath. That's the cup that my father has for me to drink. Shall I not drink it? Then he says this, or do you think that I cannot now pray to my father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? So Jesus is going to the cross. Peter and him are fighting to keep him from going to the cross. And Jesus said, no, Peter, put up your sword. I'm going to do what the father wants me to do. He says, but just in case you got it wrong, you don't think I could ask my father? And he would send me. Now, one angel would be enough. Jesus said 12 legions. One angel would be plenty. And Jesus said, I could call them right now. However, that was not the will of the Father for Jesus. Well, what's the point of it? The point of it is this. Jesus chose the will of God for himself. You and I have to choose the will of God for ourselves. You say, where is this in the scripture? Cover to cover. Let's go to one of my favorite, Genesis chapter 3. Garden of Eden. God says, there's two trees. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat from it. Tree of life, eat all you want. All the trees of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree which is in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for on the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Don't eat of it, Adam. What does Adam do? With the help of his wife, his lovely wife, they eat of the tree. In other words, they chose to disobey God. And so they had a choice, and we're sons of Adam and daughters of Eve. We have a choice. And so the will of God must be chosen. Now, this is what I was encouraging Corey with earlier, was that once we know the will of God, then we have to choose the will of God. It's not enough to pray. It's not enough to pray. We got to add some feet to those prayers. There's something, in other words, God says, what I'm going to do in answering your prayer, I'm going to require something of you. I'm going to require something of you. So, it wasn't the will of the Father for the angels to deliver Jesus from the cross. Therefore, Jesus chose the will of the Father that was chosen for him. Right? And so, you and I have to do the same. So now, as we go further, I'm going to jump over to now give us this day. Because Jesus teaches us that it is the will of God, the rest of what Jesus told us to pray for, it is the will of God to have our needs met, our sins forgiven, temptation endured. Notice I didn't say avoided, but temptation endured, and evil averted on a daily basis. Right? All of that is the will of God for us. Excuse me. So the scripture said, in this order, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then give us this day. Notice where give us this day falls. It falls after us praying for the will of God. Our petition for our needs comes after the petition for the will of God. Therefore, the will of God overrides all our petitions. I think I got one or two amens. I think I'm going to say that again. I don't think it got home. I don't think it really punched through. Our petition for our needs comes after the petition for the will of God. Therefore, the will of God overrides all of our petitions, which is simply saying what I've been saying all along, is that in order to have our prayers answered by God, they have to agree with the will of God. You know, for God to answer a prayer that doesn't agree with his will would be for him to deny himself. And that's not happening. No. There's some things God cannot do. He cannot lie. He cannot die. He cannot deny himself. Hello. He cannot sin. All right. Okay. So this shows us that our needs will be met as part of the Father's will. And so we have a saying. We say this, where God guides. Yeah. Where God guides, he provides. That's what we say. In other words, where God is leading you, he's going to give you what you need, amen, to where he's leading you, right? Where do we see that? All throughout the Bible. Whole Old Testament, children of Israel in the wilderness, in a desert. Nothing to eat, nothing to drink. What does God do? He drops bread from heaven, water from a rock. And he, for 40 years, their clothes didn't wear out, shoes didn't get holes in them, no holes in the pants, everything good. For 40 years. And everyone said, oh, I wish I had that type of insurance policy. Where is that? Man, I wish I could have that. So listen, so we can trust God that if we don't get a prayer answered, in some cases, it wasn't the will of God for us. In some cases, not all. But Jesus said to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Oh, my goodness. And that is so loaded. This is just. Because we are to go to God every day for what we need. Daily needs, daily prayer. You say, nah, I'm not asking you. Rhetorical, okay? Do you pray every day? Well, do you have needs every day? Well, yes, I do. I need it. Well, do you pray? Do you ask God? I don't know about that. Well, fix it. Fix it. Listen, I'm not saying go. He said come. He said pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Why? Because we are a dependent people. All of creation is dependent upon the Creator. The sooner you know that, the sooner you know that, listen, we are walking into a brighter light as we walk further into Christ. And there are things that we don't see, but that will come to light. And when they come to light, they will astound you. And one of those things is how dependent you are on God. Now, you don't know how much dependent you are on God, but you will know. Why? Because the more you walk with him, the closer, the more the light is going to shine and understanding and revelation will come to you. And the more you walk in the light of that revelation, listen, the more thankful you will become. Because when you come to understand that it's been his hand taken, you remember I said a few months ago that poem, Footprints? Where there were two footprints, and then when person said, God, when it got hard, you left me. And there was only one sitting. He says, why did you leave me? And he said, that was then that I carried you. And what I was saying was that, look, in the beginning, the other footprints was an angel. He'd been carrying you. Come on, wasn't it your footprints? Why? Because we ain't got strength to do anything. When you understand that according to Isaiah 46 and 3, he's been carrying us from the womb. He's been carrying you day by day. And so when you understand this, your heart is full of thanksgiving. Your heart is full of thanksgiving. So then when you come to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and it says, in everything give thanks, then it makes perfect sense. You know, when Psalm 34 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Because if you were like King David, who understood, he told Jonathan, there is but a step between me and death. David knew it was God. The only reason why I'm still walking this earth was because God delivered him. That's what David knew about his life. And the more you walk with God, the more you'll see that that's the case with you too. Oh, yes. They told me and my wife. Y'all see that our son playing the drums? I got to say this every now and again. But I remember sitting in the doctor's office and them doing a sonogram on my wife and saying, this baby is dead. This pregnancy is over. He said, do you see anything? I said, I don't see anything. He said, that's because there's blood everywhere. He said, the baby's dead. It's going to go home and let the body push. Let it go through its process and then you come back and we'll clean everything up. And we left that day. I'll never forget. We left Kaiser and Falls Church. And we left and we called the church and said, pray. Just pray. Just pray. And we went home and prayed. And 2-3 days later, I can't remember how long that was. But we went back and the doctor did the sonogram. And I remember this doctor. Was it Brown? Dr. Brown? I forget his name. But he's sitting there and he does a sonogram. And there's just... And he said, oh my. He said, I don't know what happened. He said, I can't explain this. I don't know what happened. And I'm sitting in the back and I said, I'll tell you what happened. I know what happened. Yeah, there's a God in heaven. And he said to pray. And we went home and we prayed and our church prayed. He says, if I wasn't watching this, I would never believe it. I said, well, believe it. And then our son was born. He's a miracle. Every time I look at him, I think about God and his power and his grace. Because God can, he can do anything he wants to do. Now, he doesn't heal every time we ask him to heal. Why? That's up to him. That's his will. That's things that I know nothing about. Amen. But I know this, in every moment that you have a need, he said, cry out to me. Cry out to me. And so we do. Because there's nobody like him. You know, what's interesting about this prayer is that as I've been reading it, there was only one thing we're actually told to do. We're told to pray our Father. Heart in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Still, we haven't done anything yet. Forgive us our sins as we forgive. The one thing that we're told to do in this prayer is to forgive. Why is that? Because it's one of the most powerful things you could ever do. One of the most powerful things. He goes on, he says, lead us not into temptation. Everything else God does. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Give us this day our daily bread. Everything. We are dependent upon God. But he does not leave us without something to do. Okay? Now, Jesus said this in John 15 and 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Amen. You and I can't tackle temptation. We can't tackle the evil one without God's help and strength. That's why the song says, I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee every hour in joy or in pain. Come quickly and abide or life is vain. I need thee. Oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Amen. And that only makes sense. Why? Because we have been created by him. Therefore, we need him beyond measure. Church, listen, when you wake up every day and all day long, what you need more than anything is God. Period. What you and I need more than anything. That's a song. I love you, Jesus, more than anything. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Man, I love meditating on that scripture. All day long, I'm thinking, I'm going around, I'm cleaning carpet for a living, you know that. But all I'm thinking, I'm going, and while I'm cleaning carpet, I'm thinking, I exist for him. I exist for him. Okay, then what that means then, that how I am to carry myself and how I am to live my life, that I need to know that from him. Just like if someone pulled a Ford up in your car, up in your driveway, you'd never seen one before, and they told you, well, this is what it's for, and this is how it works, and you don't put water in the gas tank, because if you put water in the gas tank, you're going to have some troubles. And then here we are in life, we've been created by the Creator, he gives us the manual, and he says, don't put water in the gas tank. And what do? We put water in the gas tank, milk, juice, going there trying to turn it over. This ain't working. What's wrong? Well, we need to do it according to God's word. And so Jesus said, pray this, give us, not because we deserve it, but because we're so desperately in need of it. And we rely on your great goodness to provide it, oh God. In other words, give us this day keeps before us our need for God. It keeps before us our need for God. Because I daily need to understand and be acquainted with the fact that I am dependent upon him for everything. We have daily needs, therefore we have daily prayer. Jesus taught his disciples to depend on God the Father daily and therefore to pray daily. And that makes sense because we can't do anything without him. But notice this, in addition, Jesus didn't say, pray, give us today tomorrow's bread. He said, give us this day today's bread. Very interesting because, see, Jesus didn't pray. He didn't say this either. He didn't say, pray, give us Amanda's bread. He didn't say, pray, give us Bill's bread. But, you know, when you play the lottery, that's what you go on. Everybody put their money in and then you hope to win it all and take it all. You know, you say, Pastor, you dead on the lottery. Why? Am I dead on money? No. It's about trust. It's about trust. That's huge. So he said, he didn't say pray for tomorrow's bread, but he said pray for today's bread. Why? Because if he gives us what's designated for tomorrow, we'll spend it today. And then when tomorrow comes, we'll be looking around. Hello? Right? Doesn't work that way. But that's how we want it, though. That's what chasing riches is, by the way. You know. When you look back, sometimes I go in my books and I look back. I've been doing cleaning carpet for a long time. And I look back 10 years and I'll see the amount of money that my business has done. And I'm sitting there going, what? For real? We did all that? Where is it all? You know, but it's going to all the needs that God has met over all those years. But it adds up. Why? Because it's God's faithfulness each and every day. So Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, because today has sufficient needs and I'm providing for you today. Right? Many people worry about tomorrow when today is most important. Jesus said this in Matthew 6, further down. He says, therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom. Notice how Jesus points you back up into the will of God. Seek the kingdom and everything you need will be added unto you. Why? Because all that you need is in the kingdom purpose and will of God. Therefore, that's why I was saying to you the other day, I don't spend a lot of time in prayer praying for, oh God, give me this, oh God, give me that, oh God, give me. No. No, I spend my time praying for the will of God for your life and my life and our nation and our leaders and our pastors and the church and all of this. And God just keeps, and I go to work and people been, I've been scheduling appointments today, this morning. People get on my web and they just come from anywhere. I don't know where they come from. Just get on. Hey, we want to eat this done, that done, that done. And they just keep coming and coming and coming. I'm sitting there going, Lord, thank you. Thank you. But I'm going to seek the kingdom, right? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Our Father meets all of our needs so that we can be about seeking the kingdom. And here's a thought. If God can give us much, and we know that he can, why did Jesus say, pray, give us this day our daily bread? Why didn't Jesus say, Lord, I think I'll take a year's worth today. How's that? Because that's sometimes, that's what we want. That's what we want to do. Well, I want 2 years worth. I want 5 years. We want it all now. Does that sound familiar? Wasn't there a young son who went to his father? He said, I want it all now. Because I got plans, you know. And he wasn't content to live with his father and stay with his father and just go day to day. Let me ask you something. How you doing at the end of the day when you come home from work? Do you sit down and, you know what? I'm tired of this. I hate it. How you doing? Do you come home, Father? I thank you, Jesus. Now, if you're not there, it's okay. You're on your way though. I can tell you, you're on your way there. You're on your way there because I'm telling you, God, listen, this is what we know about him. He's faithful to all his children, right? So what that means is, the end of your life going to be like the end of mine as we walk closer and closer to it. What am I saying? I'm saying this, that if I was to come to you 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and you've been walking with the Lord, you're going to say, Pat, God has been so faithful to me. I went through this, but he brought me through it all. And you'll be saying, and guess what? And I'll be telling you, hold on, pipe down for a second, because I got something to say too. And I'm going to roll mine out. This Sherry going, oh, Bogart have been there. Hold on, wait a second. I got something to say about him too. And Loretta, and everybody's going to be talking about how faithful God has been, right? So, but listen, he's faithful over the little bit, the daily, sometimes the monotonous, you would think about it being, it's monotonous, it's like, another day, you know, that's another thing that's going to change, you know, another day. Oh, for real? Well, how about, okay, you don't want it anymore? I'll take it away. No, I'll have it. No, but when you learn and see that God is the one who woke you up this morning, and just like he put the worms out there for the birds, it says he feeds the birds of the sky, right? And he scatters everything that they need is out there. You and I, little bird chirps, we wake up in the morning, early bird get the worm, and we go outside, get in our car, we go to work. And God done put it all out there, but make no mistake about it, it's something for you to do. Okay? And so like the bird got to go out and get his worms, you got to go out there and you labor. and you put your hands to the plow. And what you do to the glory of Jesus. I clean carpet. I'll be cleaning stairs, sweating, falling downstairs, doing all kinds of stuff. I'll be sweating everything. At the end of the day, I come home, I say, Father, Jesus, for 30 years, he's been taking care of me this way. 30 years. Amen. Hallelujah. I can still get up. I can bend down. I can pick up 200-300 pounds. I can do what I do. I still have all my facilities about me. My wife would say maybe some things are going a little going. But everything is still there. And so we give God thanks and praise. We give God thanks. Why? Because he's faithful every day. See? Oh, yes. And so, now listen. So Jesus, he didn't tell us to pray and ask for a week's worth or a month's worth. He said, give us this day our daily bread. Listen at Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9, where the King Lemuel said this. I believe it was King Lemuel. He said, give me neither poverty nor riches. Don't give me either. Feed me with the food allotted for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. And now when we look at this, it is akin to what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 6. He says, ask for what you need today. That's what the Father wants you to have. He wants you to have what you need today. Why? The proverb says, lest I be full and deny you. Does that happen? That's a whole nother sermon. Lest I be poor and steal and take the name of the Lord my God in vain. This word allotted in the Hebrew, it means an appointment of time, space, quantity, labor, or usage. It's a certain amount. In other words, God has provided a certain amount for you today, tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day. Now, here's the beautiful part, is that when you add all those days up and you look back, you'll say, God provided for me all these years. He's been faithful for me all these. Now, I know that's going to be my testimony when I get older, because this is my testimony now, okay? Because God is, you can't outgive him. I mean, he is just, he's so beautiful, he's so amazing. Listen, there is a right amount to meet your need and my need every day. There's a right amount. It will not cause you to forget God, nor will it cause you to steal and profane the name of your God. Only God knows what that amount is, and he is faithful to give it to us each and every day. But Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 16, not to note, I'm going into something, I'm just going to share something real quick. He said, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Okay? So there are those. God, he said, pray, give us this day our daily bread. But there are those who, they're not satisfied with that. There are Christians who their desire is to be rich. And so they leave. Now, when you have a desire to be rich, then the end justifies the means. So whatever it takes to get rich, if I don't report my taxes, come on. If I say I'm giving this service and I'm not, I'm stealing, then that is what's going to drown men in destruction and perdition. Why? Because the judge sees. And the judge is going to judge that. Make no mistake about it. Man may not see it. Oh, but God sees it. So that's why that's going to be a problem. So I close saying earlier, how do we feel about the day's work? We should be thankful for the strength that God has given us to gather, not only the work that he gives us, but then the strength to get up and go do the work, all to the glory of God. Paul said in Colossians, whatever you do, both in word and in deed, do all to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in that way, every day will end with a prayer of thanksgiving, of thanking God for all of his goodness toward us. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Help me sing this one verse. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Father, we thank you. We thank you, O God, and we acknowledge that it is the goodness of your great hand that has provided for us, O God. Lord, from the womb, O my God, you have had your eyes upon us, O God, meeting every need, O Lord. And Father, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You do not change, O God. Therefore, your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord, will carry us through, will see us on the journey, O God, and provide all that we need. Father, we exalt your great name. And Father, we pray that your kingdom would come and that your will be realized in every heart, in every life here. To the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we ask it, and in his name we pray. And all God's people said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you real good.